In testimony before Congress in February, President Obama's Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Dennis Blair, declared that the president reserves the right to have the CIA carry out assassinations against U.S. citizens who are engaged in terrorist activity. His comments before the House Intelligence Committee were directed at Anwar al-Awlaki, a U.S. citizen who is thought to be living in Yemen. Al-Awlaki, who was born in Las Cruces, New Mexico, is accused of being a leader in Al-Qaeda, whose sermons were attended by three of the 9/11 hijackers. Fort Hood shooter Nidal Malik Hassan and the failed Christmas Day bomber Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab both say they met with and were inspired and or trained by Al-Awlaki. During the first week of August, the American Civil Liberties Union and the Center for Constitutional Rights filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control to obtain a license which is required under federal regulations to represent anyone named as a specially designated global terrorist, which al-Awlaki was about 2 weeks after his father, Nasser, retained the ACLU and Center for Constitutional Rights to represent him in an effort to stop the government's targeted killing. The Treasury Department responded to the suit by granting the license on August 4th, clearing the way for the two groups to seek a federal court injunction preventing the Obama administration from assassinating al-Awlaki without due process of law. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Jonathan Maines, a legal fellow with the American Civil Liberties Union's National Security Project. He explains the important precedents being established in the court challenge to the Obama administration's self-declared authority to assassinate U.S. citizens outside war zones without charge, trial, or any constitutional checks and balances.
This is another example of a situation where it appears that President Obama is entrenching and in some cases actually extending the sort of framework that was established by President Bush. So, you know, during the Bush administration, there was lots of concern, lots of outcry from many quarters about the Bush administration's claimed authority to detain people who were picked up anywhere in the world, including inside the United States, and put them in prison with charge or trial indefinitely. There's also concern about, you know, picking people up anywhere in the world and charging them and trying them in military commissions. These are all powers that are restricted to battlefield situations, circumstances where there's an actual war going on. Now, what President Obama has done is he's sort of run with this idea of the global battlefield. The idea there being that rules that are intended to govern the conduct of a war can apply anywhere in the world that the government believes a suspect might be found. So it appears, we don't know because the government hasn't actually set out its legal theory and still hasn't set out the criteria that it uses in deciding whether a U.S. citizen can be targeted for death. But it appears that they're taking the view that they can use quintessentially warlike means and warlike rules anywhere in the world, including in places like Yemen, where the United States isn't at war. So it's hard to say why they've decided to proceed as they have with so little transparency and with, you know, as far as we can tell, no due process.
Jonathan, there are many people in this country believing the country should do everything possible to prevent future attacks who are probably fully on board this idea of killing Awlaki in Yemen. How do you counter the idea that the Obama administration should afford any U.S. citizen, regardless of the charge or where they're living, with due process and forego this course they're on to assassinate this guy out in Yemen?
Well, you know, I think that, unfortunately, in the last several years, become very sort of commonplace for people to think that the only way for us to be safe is to sacrifice bedrock civil liberties and constitutional rights that have served us well for generations. Now, we think that there's no contradiction. It's entirely possible to have a robust counterterrorism effort while still remaining within limits that are set out by our Constitution and other sources of law. So what I would say to those that think there's no problem here, I just point out how remarkable the asserted power that the president is claiming is. I mean, what we're talking about here is the power to put U.S. citizens on a list, which then authorizes the military and the CIA to hunt them and kill them anywhere in the world, even thousands of miles from any war zone or battlefield. And it's doing so without revealing to anybody outside of probably a small group of people in administration what criteria have to be met before a person, before a U.S. citizen can be hunted and killed, without any sense of what the process is that's in place within the administration, and certainly without any checks outside of the administration. So the idea that the president has a unilateral authority to set up the standards that will govern when a citizen can die, and then has the authority to, you know, be prosecutor, judge, and jury, and I suppose executioner in applying those standards is quite remarkable. And I think that at the level of principle, most people can agree that that's not a power that we want to entrust to the unchecked executive branch. If we endorse this as a precedent, other countries may well think that, you know, they have license to kill their suspect enemies anywhere in the world.
Jonathan Maines, your lawsuit may very well end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Your challenge to the executive authority, the president, to assassinate a U.S. citizen without due process. What do we know about the Supreme Court's past decisions in this? We know that in the Yasser Hamdi case, by a lopsided majority, the Supreme Court actually denied that the executive branch has unchecked authority to designate somebody an enemy combatant and keep them in prison forever without charge or trial. Do you think the same opinion may hold sway in today's Supreme Court if this case came to them?
I hope so, and I think you're right. I think the Supreme Court has, on four key occasions, they've heard cases involving the president's asserted authority in the post-9/11 era, and they have come out the right way. You know, in that Hamdi opinion reference, then-Justice O'Connor said that the authorization for use of force after 9/11 was not a blank check to the president. I think it'd be difficult for a court confronted with this issue to ignore it or to simply endorse unreviewed the president's asserted authority to set the standards by which citizens will be killed and then to go out and do that anywhere in the world. So we're talking about the most fundamental right, the right to life. And the Constitution is pretty clear that no person shall be deprived of life without due process of law. So we're hoping that by bringing this issue to the courts, the program and the asserted authority will be reviewed where it should be in a judicial forum.
That was Jonathan Maines, a legal fellow with the American Civil Liberties Union's National Security Project. For more information on the lawsuit, call the ACLU at area code 202-457-0800. Or visit the websites aclu.org or ccrjustice.org.